Yeah, time to talk employment as we continue every week to try and help people get into the workforce. And our employment expert is Graham Wynn from Superior People Recruitment. Always good to talk to you, Graham. Good morning. How's your week been?
Good morning, Luke. Had a very good week so far this week. How about yours?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Look, you've sent me a couple of interesting articles I wanted your comments on. One of them is that apparently most of us worry that we're sort of faking it in our job, that we can't do our job. Two-thirds of workers say that they feel completely out of their depth and they fear being found out by their bosses. I've been worrying about that for 38 years now.
That's why I started my own business. I don't have that problem anymore. Look, it's an interesting one. That I think a lot of people, what they get concerned with is as time goes by, technology increases, improves, they get concerned of being left behind. They also worry if they've got the job based on qualifications rather than experience, they get thrown at the deep end. And also as businesses evolve and other work gets thrown their way, they probably haven't had the ongoing training required to deal with that extra workload they're getting. So they're very concerned that suddenly from being, I've got a job based on whatever qualifications, experience I had, I now no longer have the skill set to do the work I am now doing as the job and the company are evolving. And that's the challenge that people are facing.
So what most of us...
And employers.
So what, two-thirds of us reckon that we're in our job by fluke and that we're about to be found out?
That's what the survey says, yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I do admit, I talk to a lot of people who obviously are in work and looking around. And one of the things I do get worried about is the fact that the job they're in is no longer what they wanted when they first started there. So they're actually not doing the job they wanted to do because it's evolved and they're not happy in that job anymore because it's not what they started doing.
All right, what do we do?
So, yeah. Well, I think training is the big issue here, and that's internal training, company training. If the company is evolving, new technologies coming in, they need to make sure they're investing time and money in training the staff to make sure they can deal with whatever technology or new roles are coming into the business. That's where it's falling down. I mean, back to when me and you were younger, every employer had a training levy. They had to spend so much money on training. That doesn't exist anymore. And so companies don't spend a great deal of money on training. And that's where it's falling down. Once they get an employee in there, they just hope that they can grow and go with the business, but they don't give them time on training. That's a major failing of employers, that.
Now, you and I, over the last few months, have talked a lot about our older listeners, and I shouldn't say that. I'm talking about people 50-plus, 60-plus, who may have retired, discovered that their superannuation isn't going to cut the mustard, and they're trying to get back into the workforce. And we've talked about problems associated with that. But there's a new study out that shows that Generation Y, which is probably our kids and our grandkids, they're struggling to get into the workforce too. They can't find jobs. What's this story?
That's a real challenge for young people. The unemployment around the country is probably 5 or 6%, but we think the young people, it's close to 15 to 20% in a lot of areas that can't find work. And part of the problem we're finding from employers is that they're coming out with some very good technical skills, but nothing else. They don't have good English, they don't have good math, they don't have financial management or understanding, and so they're not being taught the basics, as we would call them, through their education. They're being taught technical things, but employers are wanting more than that. And that's where they're falling down. And an example, we had a role for a carpenter recently, and the person had done his trade. He went for the interview, though, and failed, though, because he had no numerical skills whatsoever, because he hadn't been a part of the course. Now, when you're doing carpentry, you have to measure things and calculate things and estimates, and he didn't have math skills.
Yeah, that's right.
Therefore, he was not successful. So the basics we don't teach anymore are stable. That's where they're falling down. So they're coming in with very good technical skills or technical qualifications, but no basic skills, which they now class as enterprise skills, is the buzzword these days they give it. But that's what they're falling down on, the basic, the maths, the English, just the general wisdom, if you like, about what's expected of them as well.
There's been new research on youth unemployment, and it's found that government policies trying to help older workers and skilled migrants may have hurt these young people, Graham.
Yes, and that is correct. We're actually putting a lot of money into companies employing mature workers, so people who've been unemployed for a long period of time or over a certain age range. The companies increased the funding to employers from, it used to be like $1,000. They can now get between $5,000 and $10,000 to employ mature workers. So that's given them some incentive now to spend a bit of time on retraining mature workers, because they like the experience of mature workers. They think their computer skills may not be up to speed, but by giving them an incentive now of quite a large amount of money, it buys them a bit of, okay, we can put them on a course. So we've got their experience now, we can train them where they need to be taught, and that for then gives them more work. So the knock-on effect or the consequence of that is that young people now are struggling because there's no incentive for them.
Yeah, interesting. Another survey published at monster.com, 71% of survey respondents found that their co-workers' manners needed improvement, and that 71% of workers find that their co-workers' manners, they're downright rude. What's this story?
This is going on all over the place. I think it's happening because people are much more confident or they're outspoken than they used to be. When we started working, you just went in, you did your job. It's not that way anymore. People are more open to sharing their life stories, mobile phones ringing. People swear a lot more in the workplace these days, and not a lot of people like this. So they're finding the manners about people just being courteous and showing respect does not exist as it used to. And so there's a lot of complaints we get now from people about the actual work environment. What we tend to do now when we get a client with a vacancy, a new client, we will go to their work site and get a feel for the environment and culture to make sure we find the right person who actually fits there, because we need to know that these days far more than we used to make sure this person fits in there.
Okay, what are some of the bad manners that they're talking about?
Foul language. Bad language is still a problem.
Bad language, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Talking loudly on the phone or using...
Talking loudly on the phone, mobiles ringing incessantly, invading private space is another one. People just hovering around desks and chatting themselves amongst each other when you're trying to work. So there's just basic rudeness, if you like, and a lack of respect for other people's privacy and workspace. That's a real problem.
Yeah, asking for help from the same technical problems again and again and again instead of just simply taking the time to learn to do it yourself was another one. I hate it when you're in a meeting and you're really under the pump. You've got a busy day. You've got to go to this stupid meeting. You get 5 minutes into it and someone walks in late and you have to start again.
Oh, yeah, we all feel that one badly, and it happens too often. And the other one is the beauty, where you get a message saying, meeting in 5 minutes, can you all come? It's like, well, hang on, I had a load of work to do, and suddenly you're now dragging me away to a meeting. I had no idea what this is about, but I've got to attend.
Yeah.
That happens as well these days, yeah.
Those open plan offices are all the go now, and you have these little cubicles, but the walls only go up to your chest, and people who constantly peek over the top and start conversations, that's annoying.
That's a real problem. And again, that's back to people's private and personal space being invaded. They just want more privacy from people. And I go to a lot of workplaces where it is this big open plan, and it's really hard to have just a conversation with the person next to you because of the noise all around you. It is quite difficult.
It really is. And particularly if you, say, in a competitive sales environment. Now, this actually happened to a friend of mine many years ago. You know, he had a loud voice and he would often talk to clients and sell them ideas. And there was somebody in the cubicle next door that used to eavesdrop who then rang that client back and said, look, I know what he's offering you. I can do a better deal. There's no privacy in these offices anymore.
I was actually at a client earlier this week and they were talking to a potential new client of theirs. And he was going through prices and negotiations.
Yeah.
And in the background came this almighty raucous and roar because someone had seen a cat YouTube video and the whole office was in uproar. And here's a client trying to have a negotiation with a potential new client for them, but the noise, and he had to actually apologise over the phone to a potential new client. That can't work.
One of my pet hates is when somebody turns up to work, obviously, seriously, contagiously ill. Stay home. I don't want you anywhere near me.
It's very honourable and nice of them to think I'd rather be there, but you end up actually taking longer to get well because you don't take the time and you potentially infect other people. And there's been a lot of studies about the people coming to work who are ill. It's having a huge impact on business because they're not performing at 100% and they're infecting other people as well. It's a major problem, that one. Yeah, so bosses also, when people come into work not well, just send them home.
And please,
send them home.
Please, people, stop turning up to work in your Lycra bicycle gear.
It's not a good look, is it?
And please, folks, if you're going to bring your own cut lunch, can it not be a tuna and onion sandwich?